الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينما النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مجلس يحدث القوم جاءه أعرابي فقال متى الساعة فمضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحدث فقال بعض القوم سمع ما قال فكره ما قال وقال بعضهم بل لم يسمع حتى إذا قضى حديثه قال أين أراه السائل عن الساعة قال ها أنا يا رسول الله قال فإذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة قال كيف إذاعتها قال إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. This is a hadith narrated by Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala in his Sahih al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Ilm, which is reported by the great Sahabi, great companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu accepted Islam in the 7th year after Hijrah. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam departed from this world in the 10th year after Hijrah. So he was honored with the company of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for approximately 3 years. And during these 3 years, he totally dedicated himself for the acquisition of knowledge from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As a result, he has conveyed the most number of ahadith to the ummah. According to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, there are six companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who can be given the title of Mukthir fil Hadith. Mukthir fil Hadith, the one who has narrated the most ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the Ummah. And from amongst these six Sahaba, Mukthirina fil Hadith, the greatest Mukthir fil Hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Because he has conveyed 5,374 ahadith to the Ummah. In the Musnad of Baqi ibn Makhlad, there are 5,374 ahadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nobody can match Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Nobody can compete with him in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. He dedicated his life for memorizing the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he dedicated his life for propagating, for disseminating the knowledge that he had acquired from our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He himself says that many of my friends and many of my colleagues, the other companions of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, say Aksara Abu Hurairata. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu very frequently says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. He very frequently say, I have seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. He very frequently says, I have heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. Whenever a topic arises, he will always say, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this in regard to this topic. Or he would say, I observed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. Aksara Abu Hurairata. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu frequently says, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. Is he the only one who has spent time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that the Sahaba, my colleagues, my friends are heard saying this. So the answer to their question is that no, I was not the only one who sat in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I can definitely say that I was the only one from amongst you who full time sat in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that as far as the Ansar are concerned, my brothers from the Ansar, inna ikhwani min al Ansar, my brothers from the Ansar, my Ansari brothers, they had farms, they had orchards, so they had to look after their orchards and farms. And as far as my Muhajir brothers are concerned, inna ikhwani min al Muhajirin, yashgaluhum as-safaqu bil aswaq. Trading used to keep them busy in the marketplaces. So they had a slot for their marketplaces and a slot for the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had a slot for the Ansar, had their slot for farming and looking after their orchard, and they had a slot for the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
They also had families to look after. But Abu Huraira, no farm, no orchard, and no trade, and no family to look after. The only thing Abu Huraira was worried about, only thing that worried Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, was to get enough food, enough simple food, that would let him survive. That is what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu looked for. Other than that, all his time was spent in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Always trying to hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say something. Always trying to observe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam do something. And not only hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say something or observe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam do something. No, hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say something with the intention of memorizing it, remembering it. Observe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam do something with the intention of remembering. So one thing Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu did was, he dedicated his time to learn ilm from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the requirement for acquiring ilm from a teacher is to be present, and number two, to listen very attentively and try to memorize, try to remember. And this is exactly what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was doing. There were no classes in Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam could say anything at any time. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu made sure that he was around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could be seen doing anything at any time. So he would always be around him. He would always be near him. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the masjid, he would leave the masjid with him. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit someone, he would go and visit that person with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would try to be in the sohbah and company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only remain in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any objective, with the objective of listening to him, observing him, with the intention of remembering and memorizing whatever he said and whatever he did. This is the very first thing a talib needs to do, a talibul ilm. He needs to be present in the class. He needs to be present in the dars right from the beginning until the end, physically and mentally. His mind should not be occupied by anything. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would be present physically and mentally, and nothing occupied his mind. He had no wife, he had no children, he had no house, he had no farm, he had no orchard, no business, nothing to attend to. There was only one thing in his mind, ilm, 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 ilm. He would focus on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the first requirement. The second requirement, second requirement is the dua and the attention of the teacher. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would remain with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever it was possible to be with him. And he would observe very carefully what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing. He would listen very carefully what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. A companion radiallahu anhu who felt the same way, that why is it that we also had the opportunity of being in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite that we don't remember so many ahadith, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu remembers so many ahadith. When did he hear all these ahadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So one day Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala met this person during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira accepted Islam in the year 7th Hijrah, And within 1 year, 1.5 years, he began quoting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on every issue. Because he was not only a muhaddith, he was also from the fuqaha-i sahaba. He was also a faqih. So whenever a discussion took place regarding a particular Islamic issue, a certain fiqhi situation, then he would put forward his opinion and he would establish his opinion with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this particular companion, regarding whom Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu learned, that he is also one of those people who is surprised. And he objects sometimes. So when he met him one day, he said, "Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Did you perform your Isha Salah yesterday in Masjid Nabawi?" So he said, "Yes. I performed my Isha Salah in Masjid Nabawi." Which surah did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite in the Isha Salah? So he became silent. He was in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So basically he was in the classroom. He was in Masjid Nabawi. And he was observing and hearing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his attention was not there. This is the difference that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu was trying to show to this sahabi. So he said, "Which surahs did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read in the Isha Salat yesterday night?" So he said, "I don't know." So he said, "Were you not there in Masjid Nabawi?" Abu Huraira had seen him, that he was in Masjid Nabawi. "Were you not there in Masjid Nabawi?" He said, "Yes, I was there." So Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said that this is the difference, that you people remain present in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you hear and you observe, but you do not remember. Whereas Abu Huraira hears with the intention of remembering and he observes with the intention of remembering. So this is the first quality that a talib should have. He should remain present physically, mentally. And he should not engage his mind in other pursuits. Because if he engages his mind in other pursuits, friendship, enmity, because enmity also occupies you, always thinking about the enemy. Friendship, that also occupies your mind, you always thinking about the friend. Interest in football, cricket, during study days. A person should focus only on ilm. He should have the solitude of the mind. Solitude of the mind. Ilm. He should remain present physically and mentally. And in order to remain mentally present in the class, he should disengage his mind from all other activities. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Sharaf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala, says that when I was studying in Deoband, and I would receive letters from home, I would not read the letters. Throughout the year, I would not read letters. So throughout the year, we would not go home. From Shawwal till Shaban, we would stay in the madrasa. Only during Ramadan would we go home. Solitude of the mind. Mind is occupied with ilm only. Nothing else is occupying. 2 weeks, 3 weeks before going home, a person begins to think about home. And when he returns from home for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he will continue thinking about home. So Hakimul Ummah rahimahullah ta'ala says that we would go to the madrasa in Shawwal and we would not return until Shaban. And during this time, we would not talk over the phone because there was no facility. No mobile, no text messages, no telephone. The only way of communication was letters. We would receive letters, but we would not open the letters. Why? Because the letter will contain news of happiness or news of grief. Somebody has passed away, that will occupy the mind. Somebody is getting married, that will occupy the mind. In order to keep the solitude of mind, we would not read the letters. And we would place all the letters in a utensil. And at the end of the year, after the examination, when the time came to return home, we would open all the letters and read the letters. My dear students, this is when a person can become Hakimul Ummah. This is when a person can become Hakimul Ummah. That he makes sure that he does not miss a single letter of his lessons. And he does not pay attention to anything other than the teacher. He doesn't look at his friends here and there. Nothing occupies him only. And when the teacher is not there, nothing occupies him but ilm, the book, the textbook. From the time he enters the classroom until he leaves the classroom. Physically, mentally, he is with ilm, nowhere. And he listens with the intention of memorizing it, remembering it. If this is the intention, then what will he do once he leaves the class? He will find time and he will memorize. He will try to remember what he has learned. We need to put this ilm to memory. We need to put this ilm to memory. And number two, we need to behave in such a way with our teachers, with our superiors, with our shuyukh and mashayikh, that we acquire their dua and we acquire their attention. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu himself says that one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that whosoever will spread his shawl in front of me, the shawl that was covering the top part of the body, the loin, the cloth that was covering the top part of the body, whoever will spread in front of me, and thereafter whosoever will gather it together and put it against his chest, he will never forget what he hears from me. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala said, I spread my shawl in front of him. And according to another narration, he complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I try to hear you say something, I try to see you do something, and I try to remember, but I am unable to. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, spread your shawl in front of me. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read something and he blew in the shawl. And both his palms, as if putting something in that shawl, the palms were empty. He put something like this in the shawl. Nobody could see anything. Empty palms. But it's as if he took something and he put it in the shawl. Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Nawwarallahu Marqadahu says that apparently both the palms were empty, but they were full of treasures of ahadith. Treasure of ilm. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, I gathered the shawl, the top part of the loin together, and I put it against my chest. From that day until today, when he is narrating this hadith, I have not forgotten anything. Now, this special prayer, this special attention that will come from the teacher requires two things. Adab and khidmah. Adab and khidmah. So when a person shows respect to his teacher, he shows respect to his sheikh, he exercises adab, etiquette. He behaves in an orderly manner. He sits with adab. He speaks with adab. He gets up with adab. He talks to other people with adab in presence of the teacher. Adab. And he also serves his teacher. Khidmah. Khidmat of his teacher. He will find the reference that the teacher is asking him to find for him. He will pick up his kitab. He will try to do something. Khidmah. According to the circumstances. Adab and khidmah will create a place in the heart of the sheikh and the teacher, and as the result of this, his attention and his dua will turn towards this student. So two things we need to do. One is mehnat, working hard. And secondly, acquire the dua of the teacher. And mehnat, working hard, come on time, listen attentively, try to memorize, try to remember. If you can't remember and grasp in the class, try to learn from others. And then in our free time, try to memorize. That should be at the forefront. Forefront. I cannot do anything else. I cannot play. I cannot sit with friends. I cannot do anything unless this is complete. That should be right at the top. Mehnat, working hard. And number two, dua of the teacher. Dua of the teacher. And the dua of the teacher can be acquired by doing two things. The khidmat of the teacher, being of service to the teacher. And number two, adab of the teacher. So Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu conveyed the most ahadith to the ummah. He was ahfazu sahaba. He was the greatest hafiz of the hadith from the sahaba. He was the hafizul hadith of the ummah. He was the muhaddith of the ummah. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. And he was a faqih too. And he was so fortunate that he acquired a hadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam direct, and thereafter he was fortunate to have had 800 sahaba and tabi'in. Sahaba and tabi'in put together, 800 of them learning from him. And from amongst these 800 sahaba and tabi'in are the likes of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. And from amongst the tabi'in, the likes of Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullahu ta'ala. Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullahu ta'ala was not only his student, but he was the closest one. So much so that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu married his daughter to Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullahu ta'ala. This is Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. And one day he was carrying a kitten. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him carrying kitten. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very humorous. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very loving and very kind with his companions. So, out of happiness, joking with Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he said, Ya Aba Hurairata, O the possessor of the kitten, O the father of the kitten, Abu Huraira, O the father of the kitten, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So all the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain from thereafter called him Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira. And he also loved this name because it was a name with which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had called him. And sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would call him by shortening the name Abu Huraira, Ya Aba Hir. So it's either Abu Hir or Abu Huraira. We find these two names in the ahadith. And this was his nickname. It was a kunya, but it was a nickname which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him as a result of seeing a kitten in his sleeve. He was carrying a kitten in his sleeve. And this name, which was given to him by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, became so famous that people are unaware of his real name. There is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to what the actual name of Abu Huraira is. And some ulama have quoted 20 opinions, some 25, some 30, and some as much as 35 opinions. Why? Because nobody called him with that name. That is why there is a lot of difference amongst the ulama. Imam Hakim rahimahullahu ta'ala says that the most correct opinion is that his name was Abdul Rahman and the father of his name was Sakhr. Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr. In the time of Jahiliyyah, his name was Abd al-Shams. And in the time of, during the time after he accepted Islam, his name was either Abdullah or Abdul Rahman. And from amongst these two opinions, the most correct opinion according to Imam Hakim rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala and Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala is that his name was Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr. After accepting Islam, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after a few days, requesting him to make dua for his mother. Because she was very stubborn, she was not ready to accept Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Very stubborn mother. She did not want to accept Islam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu returns home and he knocks at the door and the mother is saying that I am performing ghusl. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that her tone had become very soft as a result of which I realized that the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I could tell by the tone that she had accepted Islam. After she performed her ghusl, she opened the door and she said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that I desire to accept Islam, take me to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu took his mother to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she accepted Islam. After she accepted Islam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for both of us now. Make dua that both of us become beloved to every believer. And all those who believe become beloved to us. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua for both of us. That, oh Allah, make them both beloved to the believers and make the believers beloved to them. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, after experiencing the love of the believers, the love of the individuals of the ummah, says, فَمَا خُلِكَ مُؤْمِنِ فَمَا خُلِكَ مُؤْمِنِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created a mu'min. يَسْمَعُ بِي وَلَا يَرَانِي Who has heard of me, yet has not observed me. Any mu'min who has heard of me, but has not observed me, this is during his time. He said, Allah has not created a believer who has heard of me, but has not seen me yet. إِلَّا أَحَبَّنِي But despite that, he still loves me. And even today, you will not find a single believer who will not entertain love for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Because the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was accepted in favor of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a long life and he passed away in Medina Munawwara and he was buried in Jannatul Baqi. These are the stars of Islam, the great stars of Islam. The Sahaba-i Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihim Ajma'in, who were blessed with the company of the most pious and the greatest personality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever created. And these are the people who had learnt and benefited spiritually, academically, direct from Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the Anbiya, the leader of all the Mursaleen, the most beloved Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we will impart the dars on the hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to learn and to practice and to propagate. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyuna Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.